Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum. Celebrate the opening of I Saw It, Francisco de Goya Printmaker, with an evening of live music, art making, live model drawing, tours, and more. Saturday, April 20th from 4 to 6:30 p.m. Info at nortonsimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
Welcome back to Air Talk. Libby Denkman here for Larry Mantle. Well, it seems impossible that in the middle of a historic pandemic, when ICU capacity has been stretched to its breaking point and hospital staff are depleted by mental and physical exhaustion, there are right now thousands of medical school graduates trying desperately to be licensed to practice medicine. Oftentimes, these are graduates of international programs who are stuck in limbo because they can't get matched for a residency program in the United States. In other words, they're doctors, but they can't legally treat patients as doctors. It's the subject of a story in the New York Times by Emma Goldberg. And Emma joins me right now. She's a writer with the New York Times and the author of the recent piece, I Am Worth It, Why Thousands of Doctors in America Can't Get a Job. Hi, Emma. Thanks for being on Air Talk today.
Thanks for having me on. Good to be here.
So tell me a little bit in background here. What's the model of medical education on the whole? We see classroom education first and then practical education with a residency, right? What's that timeline usually like for people?
Sure. So the typical person who wants to be a doctor goes through their 4 years of medical school education, and that involves classes, studies, and then rotations where you start to go into the hospital and help treat patients. And then after that comes the period known as residency. And at that point, you have an MD, so you are technically a doctor, but you can't really start practicing as a doctor until you complete your residency. And that means going through about 3 years where you are in a hospital, you are working in your chosen specialty, but you still get a little bit more supervision and guidance than, you know, a full physician might. So the typical timeline is you graduate from medical school, you get your MD, and then you start practicing as a resident before you can advance and progress your career.
Also joining us is Catherine Julian, professor of medicine at UCSF and associate dean for graduate medical education in the School of Medicine, which oversees UCSF's many residency and fellowship programs. Welcome, Catherine, to the show. And can you expand a little bit on the idea of the residency and what an ideal residency is doing for that doctor to get them ready to practice?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me. Residency programs vary in length. It really depends on what kind of doctor the trainee wants to be. And as Emma alluded to, the residency program is an opportunity for these young doctors to be able to practice with close supervision by more senior and established licensed doctors, and really to be able to learn their craft over a period of years so that they can then become licensed and usually board certified in their particular specialty.
And back to Emma here, your story describes this situation, this roadblock that is facing a lot of graduates, especially of international schools, who graduate from medical school and they're very excited and they want to be matched for a residency, but they are faced with this thing called the Electronic Residency Application Service software. Tell me what that is and what's going on.
Absolutely. Well, to back up, residency program directors, as I'm sure we'll hear more about, are also in a bind because they've been getting more and more applications for their program every year in recent years. The data shows that medical school graduates are applying to more residencies. So some are applying to as many as 75, 100, even above 100 residency programs. And so every residency program director is going to get hundreds, if not thousands, of applications for just a handful of spots. And they need a system for sorting through all those applications and finding the people who are best matched to work with their system and work with their patients. And my story was born out of a phone call I had where I was approached by some doctors who told me they are chronically unmatched. So they've graduated from medical school. They've applied over and over to residency, and each year they're not able to get placed, or even in some cases to get interviews with residency program directors.
And I mean, they have hundreds of thousands of dollars in medical school debt. Typically, a doctor would graduate and finish their residency and then be able to practice and make enough money to start paying that down. But these folks are really stuck, right? I mean, they've been applying for years, according to your story.
Exactly. And part of the challenge was a lot of the unmatched doctors I spoke with did graduate from foreign medical schools. And while the vast majority of graduates of American medical schools do match, the match rate is somewhere around 94%. But for graduates of foreign medical schools, that rate is a lot lower. It's as low as around 61%. So that means that there's a lot of graduates coming out of foreign medical schools who every year are not being placed into residency. So they graduate with all that debt. The AAMC shows it's typically around $200,000, but they're not necessarily able to then place into residency and advance their careers to start paying off that debt.
And Catherine, it sounds like sometimes the schools that they've applied to and graduated from, on the front end, they've exaggerated a bit about their residency matching rate, right? So some of these graduates were kind of sold a bill of goods about how likely it was to get matched.
Well, I think, like Emma alluded to, the graduates from U.S. medical schools do tend to have a very high match rate and usually will match. But I think this is really just such an unfortunate situation for many of these learners who have gone to international schools and may not have had the full story and understanding that their likelihood of matching is significantly lower than if they had attended a U.S. medical school.
And what is behind that from the medical school side of things when you are somebody who really oversees those residency and fellowship programs? Are the international schools offering inferior programs?
So this is such a tricky issue here. I think first I would say that graduates from the international programs really do have a really important role in care for patients in the United States, because we know that even though we're matching all of our U.S. medical grads, we still have many slots that are open for other residents. And so we do need trainees to come and fill those slots and care for patients here in the United States. I think it's tricky, though, because, you know, not all of those residents are going to match. And the reason for that is that we do have a limit in terms of the number of residency programs, and that's extremely tricky, and there's many reasons for that, which I'm happy to go through. But I think that really it's unfortunate that there really just isn't space for all of the grads who are going to these international programs. Many of these trainees in international programs are extremely well trained, but we also know that there's quite a bit of variability in terms of training experiences depending on the schools that they attend.
That's Catherine Julian with UCSF, Associate Dean for Graduate Medical Education at the School of Medicine at UCSF. Emma Goldberg with the New York Times, who wrote this article, "I Am Worth It, Why Thousands of Doctors in America Can't Get a Job." What results out of this, oftentimes, you write, is a lack of diversity in medical residencies and a diverse set of doctors that are blocked from moving forward. Is Emma Goldberg there? I think she might have dropped. We're going to come back to her. Catherine Julian, same topic to you. The issue of diversity in the residency programs and in the field of medicine, taking more international students might actually improve that situation. Is there any movement in terms of raising the cap on the number of residencies or finding some kind of solution on this?
Right. Well, first, I think what, you know, your first point, which is incredibly important, is that we really do need diverse trainees to come in, because we have a really diverse group of patients in the United States. And it's important that the providers who are seeing these patients are coming in with diversity. We know that diverse providers are really going to go into diverse communities and provide outstanding care. And so I think that that's something that's really important. And obviously, international medical graduates are a piece of that, are an important piece of that. What you kind of talked about is really important, which is that, unfortunately, residency programs can't just decide on their own that they're going to take more residents. And the reason for this is actually multifold. One is that residency programs are overseen by an accreditation body who decides how many slots, residency slots, you can have based on patient volume and other factors. But the other piece to this is really funding for residency slots, and that funding comes from the government. And the number of residency training slots was actually set in 1996. And so that's really been a barrier because we know that training residents is expensive. They're not as efficient as licensed providers. And so hospitals really rely on that government funding to be able to pay for resident salaries.
Mm-hmm. And Catherine Julian, just because we're up against a break, Catherine Julian with UCSF, I want to give Emma Goldberg, who I believe is now on the line with us. Sorry, Emma, I think that was on our end. A writer for The New York Times, author of the recent piece, I Am Worth It, Why Thousands of Doctors in America Can't Get a Job. Emma Goldberg, final thoughts, takeaways on what's next on this issue.
Absolutely. I just wanted to add, you know, this is an issue that's very much in play. There was legislation introduced in 2019 called the Resident Physician Shortage Reduction Act, which would increase the number of Medicare-supported residency positions. Congress did pass a legislative package creating 1,000 new positions over the next 5 years just a couple months ago. That's the first increase in quite a long time. So we are starting to see some real shifts and flux in this area.
Thanks, Emma Goldberg with The New York Times, and my other guest, Catherine Julian with UCSF, talking about this plight of medical school graduates who are unable to get matched for a residency and therefore practice as full-fledged doctors. I'm Libby Denkman, in for Larry Mantle today. Coming up next, a really exciting new series, a digital talk series about East Hollywood, gentrification, redlining, and the history of that neighborhood. I'm going to talk with the organizers of this series coming up in just a minute here on Air Talk.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win, and the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.